we have to put more focus on parasympathetic activities. Okay, so while high intensity workouts like HIIT might be super effective for fat loss in our 20s and 30s, we now have to shift and focus more on things like recovery and relaxation stuff. So yoga, Pilates, walking.
Welcome to the Find Your Strong podcast. I'm Jennifer Van Barneveld Pay, president of Strong Fitness Magazine, founder of Team Strong Girls, and fitness coach turned fitness publisher. Each week, I'm going to give you a thought or an interview of how to build stronger bodies, stronger minds, and stronger relationships. Getting to where I am now has been nothing short of a journey of the ultimate highs and the deepest of lows. I've had my fair share of setbacks, near bankruptcy, an eating disorder, and multiple miscarriages. You name it, I lost my way time and time again. But through it all, I uncovered my purpose, which gave me the perseverance to find my strong and stay the course. I've spent more than 15 years coaching women, and I know that fitness is a vessel to help you feel strong, confident, and empowered in your body and your life. If you're looking for inspiration and motivation, you've come to the right place. You are not going to want to miss this.
Hello, everyone. Happy Thursday. Welcome, welcome, Strong Girls. So this is going to be one of many live teachings on this page. I have been blessed to be coaching incredible women for over 10 years now. And I found just recently, let's say in the past, 6 months, I've really seen an uptick in the hormonal issues that we're all kind of facing in our 40s and our 50s. It can even start, as early as your mid 30s, to be honest. And so I have celebrated so many breakthroughs on our biweekly check-ins and through my coaching that I knew I had to do more of these live teachings to share with you all, because this information is so important, especially, going through these years of perimenopause and menopause. We all need to be educated on it. And some of it you might already know, which will be a good reminder. We all need the reminder sometimes. And then some of this information might be new information, right? So, and like I said, even if you're not 40 yet, these are all peak performance health practices that will help you. If you are tuning in on Facebook, hey, Danielle, just drop a comment below and say hello so I know that you're here. If you have any questions throughout, you can drop your questions in the comments below and I'll do my best to get back to them. If I don't see them on this, I will type you back after. So today, I'm going to talk about the 5 essential strategies for women over 40 to achieve optimal fitness and fat loss, because you can still thrive and actually be in your best shape ever in these years. Many of our clients have done it. They've done, their first photo shoot in their 40s and their 50s, and they've never felt better. So it is possible. And I want you guys to all know that, okay? Like, it doesn't go downhill from here. So number one that I want to touch on first is getting your hormones checked. Okay, so hormonal changes are inevitable as we age, and particularly in our 40s. So we need to be educated and ask for the right things from our healthcare provider. Okay, so you need to sometimes ask for it. They're not going to offer it to you, right? So if you're already feeling like, you're not getting a great sleep, you're not sleeping like you used to, or you might be storing some belly fat, what you were doing before, in your 20s and 30s are not working anymore now. You might be feeling a little bit more anxious, feel more anxiety than you've ever felt before. These can all be hormone related. Okay, so we need to be able to, identify these things and then also ask for the right tests. So for instance, if your estrogen levels are declining, this can impact your metabolism, and this can also impact how your body stores fat. It can impact sleep. It can impact mood, Okay. And for the majority of women around 35, and as you get older, your progesterone levels start to decrease as well. Okay. And this can directly affect cortisol levels, right? So your cortisol levels are that stress hormone that we all need. We all need cortisol. But if it gets too high and our cortisol levels stay high throughout the entire day, this is when we experience things like, you know, not being able to sleep properly, that, you know, extra fat in the midsection that just doesn't go away no matter what you do, not sleeping properly, like I said, and even just feeling more heightened, like the stress that you used to experience in your 20s and 30s, it could maybe be the same stress in your 40s, but your body just can't handle it in the same way. Okay. So what we need to ask our doctors is for a full hormone panel, and that will also test your cortisol levels as well. So check your progesterone, check your estrogen, check your testosterone, and that will also check your cortisol levels as well. And I would also request for a full thyroid panel too, because thyroid issues are directly related to hormones as well, and it can affect insulin resistance. These are all things that we should be asking for, I say, at least once per year. Okay. And when we know this information, then we can, you know, seek the proper treatment. Now, for me, between both my sons, so I had Jackson and then I was trying to have my second son, Logan. I've shared this story before. I experienced a few miscarriages. So I'm the type of person that, you know, when I get any sort of, let's say, symptom, I want to know the root cause. So I started working with a naturopath. I also worked with my family doctor as well. And Vince was also checked too. It wasn't just me, because, you know, when these things happen, it kind of always seems to fall on the women. So if you're going through fertility issues, like it is a couple's thing, you both should get tested. But we ended up finding out that my progesterone was actually lower. So I started supplementing with a bioidentical progesterone cream. And I believe this helped me conceive Logan. I mean, I can't say that 100%. There's other variables there, but I did start to feel better. My periods were more regular, because one symptom of low progesterone is your periods are irregular or getting really short. So mine were coming, like, you know, every 22 days. So in that case, I knew I needed some help to stretch my cycle out a bit. And then even after Logan, after breastfeeding for 2 years, I got my hormones retested and I still did have low progesterone. So I decided to do bioidentical progesterone cream. And this was my decision with working with my healthcare providers and also knowing that my progesterone was lower. So I started the cream. It helped to an extent. And then I've decided recently to go on a bioidentical pill, which is, again, a natural progesterone. Your body sees it as natural, bioidentical. And that's about 100 milligrams that I take once a day right now. And then I will cycle it. So I have a plan. I have a strategy. But the only reason why I have a plan and a strategy is because I got my hormones tested. And I also am really in tune with my body and I know my cycle. So when you ask your doctor for your hormone panel, they're going to have you do it on, typically it's day 21 of your cycle. So it is important to know your cycle. So if you don't know your cycle, there is tons of apps. I have Flow app, FLO, and I just track everything in there. So it's super helpful to know your cycle. Let me know if you guys are tracking your cycle here. I'm trying to keep an eye on both pages. Let's see if anybody has any questions. Oh, there we go. Oh, Kelly, my doctor refused hormonal testing as she said it varies too much depending on when the cycle. Yeah, I mean, that's one opinion, right? So for me, okay, this is just my outlook on it. I believe in getting second and third opinions all the time. And I work with two or three different doctors because of that reason. As you guys know, I've gone through a little bit of a health scare stemming from my gut. And I'm going to actually do a teaching on gut, because your gut health can basically interfere with everything in your body, which I'm learning. I knew, but I'm really learning that firsthand right now. So for me, I've really been okay with going down the path of getting different opinions. So Kelly, I would maybe reach out to a naturopath, and you can also do things like the Dutch test as well. And yes, these things might have to be tested 2 or 3 times. So it's not just that one test. Your doctor might need 2 or 3 tests. Some are unlikely to give you that. And that's why I like to work with an integrative doctor or a naturopath, because they will be okay with retesting just so they can get the full picture. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next point. I see a lot of comments here, which is awesome. And I'm going to go in and get back to you guys after this, because I want to get through everything, because we have some really good information here. Okay, so number two, you might be rolling your eyes here because I feel like we hear this every day. But it's the managing stress piece. Okay, like how to manage your stress. Okay. And it's huge. I feel like we hear it, but how do we actually do this? Okay, so there's 3 big ones. I focus on how to manage stress is, 1, it's movement, it's exercise. 2, it's sleep. And 3, this one was a big one for me recently, it's breathing, to bring your body back down to that parasympathetic state. Okay, so stress management for women over 40 is essential. What we could handle before in our 20s and our 30s, we can't handle so much in our 40s. Our body is just not set up for it anymore. And this is like the chronic stress over years, and it's caught up now, right? And this type of stress can disrupt hormones. It will lead to weight gain. It will lead to health issues. So it's really important that we incorporate stress-reducing techniques in order to bring our body back down to that parasympathetic state. Okay, so I wanted to teach you what I've learned recently, something that I've implemented. As you guys know, I've always been into exercise. So that has always helped my stress levels, I believe. My sleep has always been pretty good. But these breathing techniques that I've learned, and you can do this at any time of the day, but I like to start my morning off with this, and I like to end my day with this. And that is just breathing in for 4, holding for 7 seconds, and then breathing out for 8. And you're going to repeat that 10 times. Before bed, I will repeat it until I fall asleep. And it's usually around, you know, that 10th time where I'm dozing off. In the morning, I do about 20. And this really sets your body up in that relaxation, parasympathetic state. It's been really helpful for me, especially going through what I had just gone through. I think I had post-traumatic stress from not getting from it lasting so long. So this breathing technique has really, really helped me. Let me know if you know any other breathing techniques that has helped you. I know there's a few different, like, you know, combinations of the timing, but this one has really, really, really helped. Also, regular physical activity. So if you're a strong girl, you know this, it can mitigate the negative effects of stress. You know, we all know if we go and we're lifting weights, you know, we have a bad day, we go to the gym, we take it out on the weights, we feel better after, right? Same with like going outside for a walk. And I'll do this every day too, making sure I head outside every day for at least 30 minutes for that walk. And then the sleep thing comes in. Okay. So you might be sitting here rolling your eyes, especially if you can't sleep that well. But we all want to aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. I know that it's easier said than done sometimes. You know, going through that health scare that I have, I was not sleeping well, and I was, you know, trying everything. So a few things that can help with sleep. Okay, so let's just talk about the stuff that can help with sleep besides the supplements, and then I can get into a few supplements as well. So one, your physical activity in the day. So if you're, and I feel like we all know this, if we're not that physically active, if we haven't gone out for a walk, we haven't, you know, done at least a 30, 40 minute workout, our sleeps kind of suffer, right? So we want to make sure we are physically active. Even if you don't have your weight training session that day, you want to make sure that you're doing something. You want to do some type of movement, whether it's yoga, whether it's heading outside for a walk, whether it's heading outside for a bike ride. This is going to help your sleep. Okay. Also, stopping caffeine at a reasonable time. I used to stop it at like 1 or 2. Now I'm like, after 11:30, I'll make sure no caffeine. Okay. Because caffeine can really interrupt your sleep. We're more sensitive in our 40s and our 50s to caffeine. So just be cognitive of that. Something that's helped me recently is getting early morning sunlight. So the first thing in the morning, I will put my jacket on, I'll head outside, try to catch the sunrise. If I don't catch sunrise, at least I'm getting some, you know, light into my eyes. And this can be anywhere from 12 minutes to 20 minutes. And it helps set your circadian rhythm for the day, which then helps you sleep at night. And then the electronic things, cutting your electronics off at a certain time. So, you know, around 7, 8 p.m., put your phone away. If you still like to watch a program on TV, I suggest getting a nighttime vision glasses, because it will cut out all the blue light, because that can also really affect your sleep. Some supplements that have helped me, if you're a strong girl, you know that we, for the majority of you, we're all taking magnesium. I like the CanPrev magnesium biglycinate, and I'll do 200 to 400 milligrams per night before bed. And this helps your body go into like a relaxation state, can help you fall asleep quicker and stay asleep. Something that's also helped me is GABA. I don't know if you guys have heard of GABA, but again, if you work with a naturopath or doctor, check with them before you take any other supplements. But this is a great way to just calm your nervous system down and help you fall asleep and get into a better deep sleep. I like to track my sleep with my Oura ring. I don't know who has an Oura ring, but it's a great way to like see what your sleep quality is, how long you're sleeping for, your HRV levels, how long you're getting into REM compared to how long you're getting into deep sleep. It's good to know these things, right? And then also like not eating too late, because eating close to bedtime can affect your sleep. But here's the catch. This is something that I've noticed recently, is that when you have your last meal, make sure that it's a substantial, sufficient, satiating meal. Okay, so I will have my last meal around like 7:30. Because you want to try to eat your last meal 2 to 3 hours before you sleep. But what I noticed, if I had like a small snack at that time, I was waking up early in the morning, like really early, like 5. But now that I'm, you know, shifting my meal to a more substantial meal around 7:30, like more of like a bigger dinner size meal, I am sleeping more soundly. So that's something to look at as well. You might have to shift your dinner to later, depending on how you eat. Like I was usually eating around like 5 with my kids, and then I would have a little snack. Now I shift that. I'll eat like with my kids still, and then have almost like another dinner at 7. If you are ready to transform your body and mindset, but tired of endless cardio and restrictive diets, I want to personally invite you into the Team Strong Girls Body Transformation Group on Facebook. This is our supportive private community of like-minded women. And every Thursday at noon, I teach a live masterclass on weight loss, fat burning, and muscle building. I also dive deep into perimenopause and menopause, info that we all need to know. Many of our members describe this group as the one thing that they've been longing for when starting a fitness program. So please don't miss out. Click the link in the show notes and join our group today. Transformations don't happen in isolation. Okay, so talking about food, this is number three. We want to be optimizing protein and fiber intake. So fiber is a big one in our 40s and our 50s and beyond. I'm sure if you are like a health junkie, you probably have noticed the big, concentration on protein. Okay. Building our meals around protein. This is what all of us strong girls believe in because we need protein. We need protein more than ever when we age to maintain our lean muscle mass. Hopefully builds more lean muscle mass. So we do need the protein. But when we increase our protein, what can sometimes happen is our digestive systems can will need some time to adjust. So we can experience, some bloating, maybe some constipation. And this is why it's very, very important to keep track of your fiber intake. Okay. So fiber in, your vegetables, your fruit, your whole grains, your nuts, your seeds. I love chia seeds for fiber, putting that basically in all my shakes. And you want to make sure you're getting your fiber in to combat the maybe some bloating and constipation that you might experience with increasing your protein intake. Okay. So for protein, we want to make sure that we're building all our meals around protein. So things like lean meats, fish, eggs, dairy, legumes. And how do we know we're getting enough protein? Is we got to do the calculation. So it is roughly 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. I mean, there's different cases depending on your current weight, but this is like a very general rule of thumb. And how do we know that? We have to weigh out our food at first. So you have to actually know what 100 grams of chicken looks like. How do you know what 100 grams of chicken looks like? You have to weigh it. Okay. That doesn't mean to say you got to weigh your food for the rest of your life. The number one comments we get from a new client is like, oh my gosh, I have been under eating food, especially protein. And how do they know that? Because they've measured it now. What is measured gets managed. Okay. We need to do this step in order to know how much we should be eating, how much protein should be on our plate. So it's not measuring for weight loss. I mean, you might have a weight loss goal and that's fine, but it's measuring to know how much we need, how much our bodies need for fuel to feel good, maybe weight loss. But typically, even when somebody's coming in the door for weight loss, they realize, oh my God, I've been under eating protein this whole time. Okay. So this is a very important step. For fiber, tracking the amount of fiber is important too. 25 to 30 grams of fiber. I would go more to the 30 grams of fiber per day. And you want to get a ton of variety. So you want lots of fruits, you want lots of vegetables, mostly vegetables. I mean, we're a couple servings of fruit per day, but vegetables are really important. And that's again to help with your digestive system, your elimination, proper bowel movements, and the bloat, because women 40 and plus, that's one of the biggest complaints is the tummy bloating. Now, when you start introducing more fiber, you will go through a phase where your stomach will feel more bloated than it did. That's normal. Your body is just getting used to it. Like you weren't eating that amount of fiber before. Now we are, introducing more fiber. So your body needs that time to digest. If you're one of our clients and you're, suffering because you've added more fiber, there is things to help, like a good probiotic or a good digestive enzyme, to aid in the digestion of, the higher protein and the higher fiber until your body adjusts to it. Okay. Let's see if there's any questions. Awesome. I love that you guys are tuning in. This is awesome. Okay. So this brings me to number four. This is kind of still a little bit of a debate in the fitness industry, but when a woman is going through perimenopause, menopause, we do have to do less high intensity interval training. So HIIT, because again, our hormones are shifting, they're dropping, our cortisol levels are going up. And so if on top of our cortisol levels are already heightened and we're going to be, you know, doing a more intense workout, that's also going to bring up cortisol levels. It's going to wreck havoc on the body. Okay. Especially if we're doing a lot of it. Now, I still like to do like one HIIT session a month, maybe two, but we have to put more focus on parasympathetic activities. Okay. So while high intensity workouts like HIIT might be super effective for fat loss in our 20s and 30s, we now have to shift and focus more on things like recovery and relaxation stuff. So yoga, Pilates, walking. I love to walk every day, 30 minutes of walking. I think everybody should be doing that. Gentle stretching, low impact exercises. And this is going to help improve stress, which will improve hormones, which will improve sleep, which will improve recovery. And this is going to lead to better overall health and also weight management. A lot of the clients that I've been working on recently, who is in this stage of life, I noticed majority of women that were struggling to get to that next phase of fat loss, it was because they were doing too much. Okay. When I took a deeper look at what they were doing, they were adding cardio. They were going to these boot camp classes, you know, like even just once a week. And this was affecting their progress. As soon as I pulled that out, and we focused more on weightlifting, which I'll get into as point number five, and more relaxation stuff like walking, stretching, yoga, their bodies began to respond. Okay. So again, I'll say this again, what worked before in our 20s and 30s may not work right now. Okay, be okay with switching things up. And this is why it's important to have somebody like a coach, or you're just going to be like spinning your wheels. You know, why is this not working? Why is this not working? And there's a reason why it's not working, right? It's our hormone levels are different. And we have to be okay with it. We got to roll with it. We got to roll with the punches. Number five, and this is like, if you're a strong girl, you know this already. Lifting heavy weights and avoiding extreme calorie deficits. And this is huge. And this is what I see when women come, you know, they come into Strong Girls and they're like, oh my gosh, I've been dieting for the last like 5 years and nothing's happened. It's because your body is so sick of no calories. It's like, F you, I'm not going to budge anymore. Okay. And the strength training there, you're just not training heavy enough. Okay. I had this conversation with Coach Jacqueline and Nadine the other day, like you got to put down the 3 pound weights and we got to work on the strength piece. We got to shift our focus on losing and focus more on strength, because when we're focused on strength and building muscle, you will lose fat. Okay. That will happen. Especially if you have the proper nutrition strategy in place. Okay. So it's the proper nutrition strategy is finding that sweet spot. If you still want to lose body fat, that's fine. You can be in a reasonable caloric deficit, but if you're going low, like under 1500 calories, your body is again going to be like, F you, I'm not going to make a change. Okay. So strength training becomes increasingly important for women over 40 to preserve muscle mass, maintain bone density, and boost metabolism. Okay. So we want to aim to lift heavy weights at least 4 times a week. And the focus is on compound exercises that target multiple muscle groups. So like squats, deadlifts, pull-ups, push-ups, hip thrusts. if you're a strong girl, you know that our program, like that's the meat and potatoes of your program. And then we'll also have, you know, the program is built around those compound movements, right? And we're not working out for too long. Okay. So most of the weight training programs that we provide is anywhere from 40 to 50 minutes at the most.
Guys, I'm going to take a little break from the podcast and talk about something that's really important to me, and that is energy. Now, we could all use a little bit more energy. Am I right? Now, I've got a cool little hack for you, and it's one scoop of Burn Cycle to replace your coffee. You know I'm not a huge fan of so-called weight loss products, but I'm in favor of delicious and easy ways to boost energy. Burn Cycle tastes amazing. My favorites are watermelon candy and blue raspberry. They both taste like summer to me, and it gives you an incredible focus and energy throughout your day, way better than a regular cup of coffee. Burn Cycle is made by Perfect Sports, and they make a bunch of other products that are easily the top of the line in performance, quality, and results, like the incredible Diesel New Zealand Grass-Fed Whey Isolate, the new Diesel Vegan, and the ALTRD State Pre-Workout, and many more. I've known about Perfect Sports for years now, and I've been working with them for months now. So if you want to get any of their amazing top-of-the-line supplements, click the link in the show notes below and save 20% off your order.
We also want to avoid extreme calorie deficits because this can really wreak havoc on your hormones, can also really slow down your metabolism. It can also lead to muscle loss. So we want to instead focus on a sustainable, balanced nutrition that supports fat loss. Okay, so it's, again, a reasonable caloric deficit because it's still going to be fueling your workouts and your daily activity, but it will still promote some fat loss. And we want to be in this stage, okay, this phase, no longer than 12 weeks to prevent metabolic adaptation and potential negative effects on your hormones and metabolism. Okay, so this is why we have our different phases of the Strong Girls coaching methodology, because you should not be in a fat loss stage any longer than 12 weeks. And after you come out of that phase, there should be a strategy. Okay. So there always has to be a strategy when you come out of a fat loss stage, because one, you've hit a new set point for your body. So let's say you've lost 15 pounds, okay, 20 pounds, even 10 pounds. You want to sit there for a while. Okay. If you just get out of that phase and go back to, you know, what you were doing before, you know, not really concentrating on the training, not really, you know, just kind of going back to how you ate before, your body's just naturally going to be putting on the weight again because it felt like that was a normal weight for your body, you know, the 10 to 15 pounds heavier. And you weren't, you haven't been at that body weight for a very long period of time. Okay. So you've lost 15 pounds. You have to maintain that for a while. So this is why we believe in a reverse diet strategy or coming out into a maintenance for a while. And this requires a strategy with your food and also a strategy with your training. Okay. This is a phase where you can actually make your body better, you know, and this is the beauty behind weight training. You can build the body of your dreams, but you do need more food in these phases. My goal with every single one of my clients is to be able to raise calories while they maintain their fat loss, they maintain staying lean, but they're actually eating more. Okay, now this goes against all those past diets that, you know, you might be familiar with. Weight Watchers is a big one. Maybe they've changed some things now, but I just remember my mom going on these Weight Watcher diets, and it's a point system. So it's like a calorie system. And if she lost like 5 pounds, she would have to eat less. So she would go in for a weigh-in. Woohoo, you lost 5 pounds. Okay, here's your new calorie or your new point system. And she had to eat like 5 or 10 less points for the next month. So We're totally against that in Strong Girls. We want to be able to raise calories so you can stay at that new set point for your body. And listen, I love this phase because there's been times where people actually make further progress. Like they get leaner with the more food and the training adjustments in this phase. Okay. Cause your body's just primed. It has that lean muscle, you know, you've primed your body and it needs more food in order to respond. So this is a really cool phase to be in. And especially with women in their 40s, 50s, 60s, we need to be eating. Okay. We can't just be constantly reducing your calories. Okay. You're going to hit a point in time where your body's just going to be F you. I'm not budging anymore. And we'll start to put on weight. So these are the five big ones over the next year. I'll be diving into these main topics into more detail. If there's anything that you guys really want me to talk about, I'm all ears. Again, I feel like we all have to come together at this point in our lives. There's more information out there now than ever, but it also can be confusing. And I feel like this community can, you know, we can all come together. We can all be on this learning journey and focus on being better than we were yesterday and not succumb to like, okay, I'm getting older and I just have to face it. No, you can be your best in your 40s and your 50s. You can set epic goals. You can be in a magazine. Where's the magazine? I don't even have one lying around. You can do your first photo shoot. You can be published and strong. You can do whatever you want to do. If you're in this community, you have us in your corner, myself, all the coaches. We got your back. If you want to do something, we'll help you do it. As simple as that. Next week, I have Laura Meadows coming on. Again, Thursday, 12 to 1. She's going to share her Strong Girls experience, her story. You know, she went through an illness and came out of it, gained a whole bunch of amazing lean muscle, did a transformation with Strong Girls, and ended up on the cover of Strong Fitness Magazine for a 10-year anniversary. So we're going to dive deep with her. She's always setting goals. She's always, you know, pouring into herself so she can be, you know, the best mom. She's also a nurse. So if you have any questions about the hormone piece, I'm sure she can answer too. So again, come and tune in. We'll be here live every Thursday from 12 to 1. If you are a past Strong Girl client, if you're, you know, wondering what our coaching is all about, just send me a DM. And we can have that conversation there. We got a ton of resources for you. And we just, you know, have such a passion to help every single woman who's here live their best life and thrive 40 and beyond. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you like this. Please share what you loved. If you have any questions, write below and I will get back to you. Happy Thursday. Go and enjoy the sunshine.
And that's a wrap on another episode. Guys, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I just love being able to share these strong stories and thoughts with you. And I hope you were able to take away a piece of inspiration from today. If there's one favor I could ask, please keep sharing, post a screenshot, share a direct link with a friend, or post a review and help spread the word so more people can tune in and find their strong. And if you ever wanted to subscribe to our Strong Fitness Magazine and get the physical copy mailed to your doorstep for more inspiration and motivation, I will include the link in the show notes and please feel free to use my Strong Girl 3 discount code to save. Guys, I cannot wait for the next show. I'm Jennifer Van Barneveld Pay. Take care and stay strong.